God bless you. Glad you're here tonight. Amen. It's all about Jesus, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. It's about the Lord. And what do you want the Lord to do in your life? You know, are you satisfied where you're at in your Christian life? And I kind of talked about that a little bit this morning, but tonight's a little bit different direction. I think it'll be a help to you. Very simplistic message. We'll be out of here by 7:15. Some of you will be. I'll still be here. I mean, some of you will be out of here mentally and all that. Amen. We thank you for Town East Baptist. What a blessing. What a wonderful day we had already today. Amen. And to come watch the graduations, and it's always a blessing there. Praise the Lord for that. Thank God for my Christian family. Amen. And my daughter and her family. Husband, Dr. Riggs, what a blessing, amen. It's always nice to have a lot of blessings, wouldn't you say? Yes. Showers of blessings, you know, in your life, and it's all good, amen, and amen to that. Well, anyway, I mentioned this morning, he took me out on the dirt track, and today he took me to the Mexican restaurant. I ate three meals all at one time, just about 3 hours ago or so, and it was all good, amen. It's good to have Dr. J.D. tonight. Praise the Lord for that. And what a special honor and blessing that was to be here when that took place. Amen. That's a blessing, no doubt about that. Let me give you a couple of thoughts here before we get into the message. Hymns for each profession. You may have heard this before. And if you have, then go ahead and laugh again. If you haven't, take it in. You might be helped here. And how many's got a dentist you go to? Thank the Lord, if they've got teeth, I can go to the dentist, amen. When I think of the dentist, I think of a song, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." And the weathermen, of course, there shall be showers of blessing. The contractor's hymn, the church's one foundation, the tailor's hymn, holy, holy, holy. The golfer's hymn. You got any golfers in your church here? Amen. There's a green hill far away. Amen. The politician's hymn, standing on the promises. Yeah, you'll get that by slow freight. Amen. Amen. The IRS agent's hymn is "I Surrender All." And, of course, the gossips. I don't think there's any here tonight. Not at all. And the gossip's hymn is "Pass It On." Amen. And the electrician's hymn, "Send the Light." And the shopper's hymn, "Sweet By and By." The realtor's hymn, for my daughter there, "I got a mansion just over the hilltop." Amen, amen. But the massage therapist, they have one, "He Touched Me." The doctor's hymn, "The Great Physician." Now, here's a couple of hymns. Listen to me. This is really good. Information will be helpful. You may want to jot some of this down. And some songs for you that drive 45 miles per hour. God will take care of you. The ones that drive 55, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah God." 65 mile per hour people, "Nearer My God to Thee." 75, "Nearer Still Nearer." And 85, "This World Is Not My Home." And some of them I've seen out here driving 95, "Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home." Amen. You know, you learn so much in church, don't you? Amen. It's always a good thing. Praise the Lord for that. And I talk about my first pastor and where I got saved up in Tennessee and not too far from Signal Mountain. Amen. Where you were just at there and up in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. Amen. That's where I got saved on the nuclear power plant. Went to church there in Soddy Daisy, Dallas Baptist Church. And Dr. Riggs, he's preached there several times for Brother Hicks up there. And when he moved down into Georgia, he called it Georgia. Georgia. And we had some real peachy people in that church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I'm going to make things real simple for us tonight. I just turned two pages of notes. Amen. Jesus is coming back soon, no doubt about that, morning, night, or noon. I want you to go to 1 Peter, and shortly after that, we'll search for the 2 Peter in your Bible there. 1 Peter, chapter number 1, and I'm just going to read one verse there, and then we'll go to 2 Peter, I'll read a few verses over there. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 1. And when you find that, say amen.
Amen.
All righty. Praise the Lord for that. Look at what it says there. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, and Cappadocia, in case you didn't know, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. And he goes on to say some things that are very instructive and very healthy for our Christian life. And he talks about the trial of his faith in verse number 7, being more precious. The trial of your faith is more precious than of gold that perisheth. Now, that's a hard one to believe and hard one to take, right? But it is God's word, isn't it? So we got to trust God and believe him. It's more precious to go through some trial or difficulty in our lives is more precious than gold. Amen. Though it be tried by fire, may be found in the praise and honor of glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. So he says there in verse number 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He had a title there. He was an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was called an apostle. That would be quite a title. Amen, J.D.? Amen? But here we see the apostle. Chapter number 1 of 2 Peter, and the first verse there. We want to look at it together, please. In 2 Peter, chapter number 1, and then it goes on to say here in verse number 1, 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant. You notice the different terminologies there. You probably have paid attention to that in your life, noticing that he is the apostle. He got a title there. And now we see in chapter number 1 of 2 Peter, the second letter there, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 2 very closely there. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And of course, it goes on to many other things are said here. And we look at verse number 3, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Pretty powerful things there. But the first thing I wanted you to notice there, he's an apostle. And then he describes himself as a servant. And you would think it would have a greater title in the second book, but some look at that as a lesser of a title. And I believe God looks at that as a greater title, as that of being a servant. I think that's what we all need to learn, to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you say amen on that? And we like titles and everything, and it's all good. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But he says here, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen to that. Well, I want to talk to you a few minutes about how to get grace and peace. Father, help us tonight. Help us, Lord Jesus. We look in the Word of God once again, Lord, and stir our hearts and stir our minds and our thoughts, Lord, to help us to focus on your blessed word tonight, and that what we can get out of it and what we can obtain from reading the Bible and preaching the Bible, teaching the Bible, and whatever we want to call it tonight, there's a purpose and a plan for all of us in our Christian lives. And Lord, to help us to seek that out and to follow through with that plan, and that is being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You ever think about what do you need in life? Well, I think all of us could say we need a little bit more what? Time? Or a little bit more what? Money. Number 3 would be a little bit more money. Amen. A little bit more time. And we want a little bit of things in life. But the Apostle Peter here said there's something very, very much that is needed in his life, but also in our life. And those two words that we see there in verse number 2, it says grace and peace. And I believe all of us need a little bit more grace. Of course, we're saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves, it is what? A gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we get the grace of God, amen, given to us, bestowed upon us when we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's grace to you and I. And when we get saved, we should experience, and one day we will experience it in heaven, total peace. But he said, I want you to have something. God says, I want you to have something in your life that is available. And that's the area of living a life with grace, living a life with peace in our lives. Amen. And say, well, I'm too busy and all that. And hey, we have a society that's very busy and a lot of hasty and a lot of hating stuff like that, a lot of political garbage and all that kind of stuff. Grace is unmerited divine assistance given to you and I. Grace is unmerited divine assistance to you and I. I need grace to live every day of my Christian life. Amen. Amen and that. And my wife is glad that I get a little bit of grace and a little bit of peace in my life where I can treat her as she should be treated, as not only my wife, but the queen of the house. Amen. And of course, we all should desire and want that desire of having grace and peace. Notice what it says here in verse number 2. Grace and peace is available to each and every one of us. Amen. And according to the Daniel Webster Dictionary, he explains it and says grace is favor or goodwill, kindness, disposition to oblige another person. Amen. And we need grace, of course, to be saved, and we need grace to live. It's unmerited favor, of course, the love of God given to us through Christ Jesus, but also the grace to live and having the right disposition given from God. And not only, he said, I want to give you some grace to live your life, and I want to give you some peace along the way. Amen. Where Paul talks about the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. The peace of God that comes to a child of God when we get born again. Amen. And we have this divine grace of caring and loving for other people. Amen. And this divine peace that we experience in our lives. Amen. And amen to that. What does that peace mean? It means tranquility. It means the freedom from of disturbances. Amen. And the tempering of the mind, our mind. Oh, we need a good dose of grace. Can you get amen on that? We need a good dose of peace. Well, how in the world do we get it? Well, I already said we get it through salvation, yes, but also to live the daily Christian life, more than just here tonight in this auditorium and in this sanctuary, more than in here being gracious and be peaceful with other people, amen. But when we walk out the doors, we need the help of God. And God says in verse number 2, look at it. He says, it shall be what? Multiplied. That's an interesting word there, multiplied, isn't it? Amen. Multiplied. Not only he will add to your life the grace and peace. Amen. And he wants to have it for you and I. And we should desire that. But he said, I'm going to multiply it if you obey what God says in that verse right there. We're not done with that verse. Look at it. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the what? Through the what? Not through drugs and not through alcohol. Amen. Not through a lot of things that we may think, you know, and I just need a peaceful life on the river and a log cabin and a fishing pole. Amen. Can I get amen on that? Especially if there's some trout in the water or some largemouth bass or whatever. But look what it says very closely. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God. And of Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, I want to give you this grace and peace, but there's a way to obtain it. He said, not only do I want to give it to you, I want to multiply this grace and peace in your life. I want to multiply your happiness and your joy. We can define that and define that in many different ways. Can I get amen on that? He said, this can be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Amen. Through the knowledge of God, it could be multiplied. And that's just simply meaning a very much of an abundance. Amen. How do we get? We get salvation, yes, but he wants to multiply in our life. Even though we live in this world and the filth of this world, and you read about Paul and how he obtained 195 stripes and three stonings and triple shipwrecks and everything that, and contentious and the critical crowd he was around, that Corinthian crowd in the Bible and all that kind of stuff, but I still believe he had the grace of God and was multiplied, just like the Apostle Peter, who at one time, remember, warmed his hands at the fire of the enemy. Yeah, he backslid. He got away from God, didn't he, for a while there. And he, of course, about denying the Lord, you know all the things that took place there. He said, well, I can't believe the Apostle Peter. Well, I can't believe a lot of people. Amen. There's a lot of people today. Amen. I just cannot believe it. Amen. They can go from shouting and raising the roof and waving their Bible. Amen. And maybe getting a hanky out once in a while and say, bless God, that's good. To being backslidden away from God. And Peter was that way. Peter was that way in his life. He went through that time in his life where he turned his back on the Lord and hung out with the wrong crowd and got in there warming his hands at the fire of the enemy and all that kind of stuff. And they said, hey, ain't you one of those guys that hangs out with Jesus? Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't want to be associated with the Lord. I meet a lot of people like that. I mean, every week of my life. When I want to be cheered up, I go soul winning. I'll go down to the park. I'll find somebody down to a couple parks in our area, and they may be homeless or whatever. And some of them got a home. They just live like they're homeless. I talked to one guy. You know, he had a bicycle, three-wheeler. He had a little cart behind it and another cart behind it and another cart behind that. He had trash bags in one of them that he'd been collecting all these bags. And then he's got some over here and everything. And I said, you need anything? No, I got Jesus. That's all I need. You never know what you run across. Amen. Next person I talked to, they needed Jesus. They needed to get saved. Praise the Lord for that. And came to church and he got baptized. So you never know what you're going to run across. But I do know one thing for sure, that God wants to multiply some things in our life. And he wants to multiply the grace in your life, that your speech will be graceful. It'll be helpful. It'll be uplifting. He said, I want to give it to you, and I'm going to give you some more peace in your life. Amen. And it can be multiplied, and it comes by way of knowing God. The word there is knowledge in verse number 2. He said the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. And look at verse number 3 as we look at a couple more verses. According as his divine power had given unto us all things. Amen to that. He said, well, you got everything you need or everything you want? You know something? I got everything I need, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. But he says that all things that pertain unto life and godliness. See, those words go together like grace and peace and life and godliness. Notice what it says, through the knowledge of him. And so he said, you want this in your life, and I think we should desire to be a graceful person and having this divine grace. And I think we should desire and want to have some peace in our life, amen, in a world that's full of turmoil and full of hatred and full of all kinds of stuff. A wicked world we live in, no doubt about that. But he said, right in the middle of it, right in the midst of everything, you can have some grace and peace. And right in the midst of it and everything, he said, I'm going to give you something. He said, I'm going to give you a life and I'm going to give you a godliness and I want to be a blessing. He wants to be helpful to you and I. Amen. And verse number 4, wherein are you given unto us exceeding? Oh, that is an awesome word there also. Not only multiplied, but now we're talking about exceeding. Amen. Remember we said in John, I think it's chapter number 10, he said, I've come that you have life and you have it more abundantly. Grace, he said, great and precious promises. Somebody shout amen to that. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The escaping of the world, amen. I'd rather live on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing God and obtaining this grace and obtaining this peace because I need it in my life. I need the peace in my life. I need to be a grace in my life. Amen. And so he goes on to there. And there's such a big passage here and so many things in this scripture. But I want to look at it just real quickly and briefly. He said, verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, he said, I'm given all diligence to add to your faith. God wants to continue to bless you after you get saved. Amen. It does not stop after you get saved and to get baptized and join the church and grow in the Lord, start witnessing, telling people about Jesus and everything like. He wants you to keep on growing. He wants you to keep on enjoying the Christian life, and you keep on getting grace, and you keep on getting peace, and you keep on getting these things. And he adds to our faith virtue, and you've read this before, no doubt about that. I'll just read it for the sake of seeing God's word and hearing it again. Amen. Add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, there's another beautiful word, isn't it? Multiplied, abundance, and then abounding here, that they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's that word there, knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So Peter, he had discovered that he needed something, and it was grace and peace in his life, and he needed it to be multiplied, and you get it through the knowledge of God. So how are you going to get to know God if you never get into this right here? Other than Sunday morning looking at a few verses, amen? How are you going to get to know God? And the knowledge of God, knowing him, he says, I give you a benefit, and the benefits are tremendous, amen? The benefits are grace and peace, and he says, I'm going to give you these benefits in your life, amen, if you'll do these things, that God will give it to you and I. Can I get amen on that? He wants you and I to have it, and he desires it more than maybe than we desire it, amen? But verse number 9, it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind. Lacketh these things is blind. What does it mean there? You're blind to the fact that maybe you don't understand and I don't understand that I really need some peace in my life. I really need some grace in my life. I really need this in my life. And by the way, I'm sure there's been many a time where I was blind to the fact that that I needed these things in any particular situation. Amen. He says in the Bible there, and had forgotten that he's purged from his old sins. He said, you forgot about getting saved. So going back to our original thought there and from the Word of God there, he said, I'm verse number 2, grace and peace be multiplied. He said, I want to multiply some things in your life. Amen. I want to give you this blessing. And he said, I'm going to show you how to get it right here. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So, well, I know him. Well, yeah. Do you know him like Paul wanted to know him in a particular way, didn't he? Remember that in Philippians, if you want to turn there a few places over in your Bible tonight, Philippians 3, or up on the screen, verse number 10, Philippians 3:10. I decided I'm going to work Brother Kyle and his wife's back there tonight, keeping you straight. Amen. All right. So I want you to go to Philippians 3:10. And these are no doubt familiar verses, but something that can be added or applied into what we're talking about here. And remember, Paul talked about that in verse number 10. What did he say in verse number 10, 3:10? That I may know him. I want to know him. You know, I think he was seeking some peace and grace and other things in his life be added into his life, the virtues. We went through the list, right? Knowledge and so on and so forth. He said that I may know him. What did he? Was he saved? Oh, yeah, he was saved. He got saved on the road to Damascus. Here he is later on in his Christian life. He said, I may know him. He said, I know that I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven, and I know which Bible to buy, and I know what to do here. Amen. But he says, I may know him. Look at what else it says there. And the power of his resurrection. Now that right there is really exciting to me, knowing, and of course we just celebrate Resurrection Sunday just recently and everything, and the resurrection, amen. And notice what else it says there in verse number 10. He said, I not only want to know the power of his resurrection, notice what it says there, and the what? Fellowship of his suffering. Now a lot of people don't want to go there, do they? And I'm not too keen on that myself, going there. I want to know the power of his resurrection, amen, to live the Christian life and preach the word and go soul winning and things of that nature, amen. He said the power of resurrection and the fellowship of his what? Suffering. Oh, man. What do you mean the fellowship of his suffering? I mean, he was beaten with a cat of nine tails. He was spat upon. They put a crown of thorns on his head, stripped his clothes, made a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to go there, do we? We have a hard time getting in line in Walmart and two people ahead of us. Or go to the drive-in window at McDonald's, Mickey D's, amen, and somebody is placing an order for 10 people, amen. And I don't know about you, but I get very impatient sometimes. And sometimes that don't pay off when I get real impatient. I would say most of the time it didn't work out for me, amen. I enjoy watching other people suffer and things when they mess up and they're impatient. Sometimes I don't enjoy all the tragedies. I was in a store called Sam's, and my wife and I, and we were in line, and this guy had a mirror he bought, a mirror. And he's pushing this mirror up there, and boy, he looks at the line, looks at this line, looks over here. You know how you ever go inside a bank, you know, which one you go into? And I like it when they put the line back here, you know, and that way everybody's got a equal ground, you know, next. And they started doing that, I think, a lot more during COVID, you know, stand back there about 150 feet from me. And that way everybody gets their opportunity instead of everybody just, you know, fighting. This guy in Sam's, he's rolling this mirror up. He's looking around and finally went up there and boom, he hit the counter and that mirror went on the ground. And that mirror shattered there in Sam's. My wife is with me, and she's thinking, see, you're like him sometimes. I know what she was thinking, amen? You've been married as long as I have. I know what she's thinking, and she knows a little bit of what I'm thinking. She thinks she knows me 100%. You got to throw a curveball once in a while, amen? But I looked at that man, and I said, you know, that's me. I probably would have did the same thing. You know, just get real hasty and in a hurry and all that kind of stuff. But Paul said, I want to know all about the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, going through hardships. That's called empathy. That's putting your feet in other people's shoes and experience what they are going through. I think it's good for all Christians, are you listening to me, to go maybe to a nursing home and visit people and maybe talk to people. I think it's all good for all of us to do that once in a while and go by the hospital and visit someone. I think it's good for all of us to go to where some homeless people, and I like to go knock on a door that if I knock too hard, the door will probably fall down. And one of the reasons I do is keep my heart tender and appreciative of what God has done in my life, the grace and the peace that has been multiplied in my life, and I want more and more. And you get it by the knowledge of God. Knowing God. But it's good for my heart to do these things, to go to these places. I preach in prisons and going in there and talking to people. Going into solitary confinement and getting down on my knees and talking through a little window to people. And it's good for my heart. And by the way, those things are good for your heart too. To be reminded of where you could be and where you may be one day. And I talk to homeless people, and it seemed like there's more and more in our area. And I know they're begging for money on the side of the road and all that kind of stuff, but I like to talk to them and pray with them and encourage them. And but you know something, I'm not that spiritual giant that I can encourage everybody in the world. But you know what I am though? I am a person that needs to be reminded of what could have happened in my life, where the road I could have continued on and having a life of destruction. All right, listen to me this morning. You go down that road of destruction, go down the road the Apostle Peter did. Then the Apostle Peter came, he made a turnabout. He came back in his life there, and we're reading some of the words there. It's just very precious, amen? But he says this word here primarily is how you get all this is through that word called the knowledge of God. It's all about God. It's not about me, amen? I believe, I need to get to know God more and more. And Paul said, I want to know the power of his resurrection, that I may know him in a specific way there. Amen. Jesus said, if you take my yoke upon you, and he said, I'm going to give you some rest. But you got to get in the yoke with him and to experience what he's talking about here of being a person of knowing Jesus. I tell people, if you want to get to know me real well, is come with me to these places I just described and come with me and let's go talk to some folks that need Jesus and come with me to the neighborhoods and things where it's very rough sometimes. I said, come go with me and we'll get to know God more. And you, if you want to get to know me, this is a good time we get together and talk. I had a fellow go out with me soul winning not long ago. And he's asking me a couple questions as we go to door. And I said, you know what? Let's just pray right now. And we got down on our knees on the street there and asked God to bless him and give him power and give him wisdom and help him in his health and his everything in his life. And I didn't change him, but I believe the Lord took a hold of his heart and changed him and made him into a greater man. And a greater man of knowing God and getting the grace and peace that we all need. He said, you can get this by the knowledge of God. So I'm not God, but I told you how you can get to know me more, but also how you can get to know God more and his blessed word and doing the things that God wants you to do. These are very basic things. Of course, not only reading your Bible, maybe going through it in a year or maybe going through a verse a day or something like that or a proverb a day, you get to know God more and more, but you're just touching the hem of the garment. He said, well, you have a lot of time. Well, I have 168 hours a week like everybody else. And our lives, preacher's lives, we get very busy and things like that. But we got to come apart or fall apart. Amen. We got to get to know God more and more and have the grace and peace of God on our life that, hey, this is something. He said, I'm going to multiply it. I'm going to make it exceedingly beautiful. Amen. Remember in the book of Joshua where he said in chapter number 1 and verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. If you want to look there, Joshua 1:8, or you can listen on there, or you got it up on the screen there. The Bible says this, Joshua 1:8, amen. And this book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, the word of God. You ought to know it enough to quote it. Boy, people used to do a lot of Bible memory back in the day. When I first got into church, we had Bible memorization. My pastor and I met every week and quoted 5 verses to each other. And we did that for like 12 weeks at a time. We go through all those verses, 5 verses for 12 weeks. We have 60 verses in just a few weeks, and we will quote them back to that four. And I still remember most of those verses today. It's just powerful to get the Word of God inside of you. And knowing God, He's got a benefit for you, grace and peace and precious life. Amen. Look at it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night. Thinking about the Word of God, he said, we get to know God. The Word of God is God. Amen. And he says, that know him, and day and night, and thou shalt may observe to do. You're going to do some things when you get the Word of God in you, and according to that all that is written therein, for then thou shalt what? Make thy way prosperous. The prosperity there is, I believe, is speaking not only, it could talk about money or whatever, but the prosperity there is a spiritual prosperousness. I want to prosper spiritually, and I want to know God more because I want some more grace and I want some more peace in my life. I want some more everything from God. Amen. Look at that. And then thou shalt have what? Good success. Well, define good success. Well, there's a lot of things you could call good success, but I think God's talking about the good success in your Christian life. The good success. What kind of success are we talking about? Amen. Well, grace and peace is a good place to start, isn't it? He said, how do you get this? From the knowledge of God, knowing God more. He said, I'm going to give you some more benefits of knowing me more. God says the benefits are going to flow out of me to you. And these benefits, beyond getting saved, which is the main thing, amen. But beyond that, he said, I got more for you. I got more for you. Amen. Amen to that. That's like having a meal. We're possibly have an appetizer. We ate at a place in Beaumont, Texas on the way out here. The traffic jam, and they were spinning people off the highway, and I must have had a big wreck or something like that. And I drove by a restaurant. The parking lot was full at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I noticed things like that. I noticed if you have more hair than I have. Okay, you notice that I don't have any. But I noticed something. I was driving down the road, and I'm drawing like that. And what does Jody say, my wife? Yeah, you watch the road. It's real crazy out here, and I'm looking at a restaurant. That parking lot's full. You know, it's about like going to church. Well, that church parking lot's full. Amen. And I looked at that, and it was backed up, and I looked on my little GPS map. Aren't those beautiful? Remember the old map days, Rand Medalli? We had 1,000 mistakes, but go ahead and buy it anyway. Amen. I don't know which is worse. My wife told me, you got to turn up here. You got to turn back here. And now I got a GPS that I pay money for. It tells me the same thing, and it's a woman telling me what to do. You see how much I need grace and peace? I need it, brother. Amen. So I'm looking at that. She says, keep your eyes on the road. I didn't know if that was GPS or my wife, amen? I said, this thing says it's all red there. And I, you know, there was an exit there, and I went by the exit. And thank God for Texas roads. You can exit for 3 miles. I mean, there's an exit that goes a long ways. I mean, it's really helpful, amen? In some states I've been in, you don't exit right now and get off the road, you're going to get ran over. Here you get about a mile to exit, amen? And there's people driving in the exit. I'm okay with it, amen? Just stay out of my way. So I drove over a little bit of bumps and grass, and of course I got a truck, amen? I can do this. I got a truck, and I turned over there, but she said, what are you doing? And I didn't know if it was GPS or her. I said, what do you mean I'm doing? I saw a restaurant back there that had a full parking lot. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She said, yeah, but you don't have to kill us to get us there. Well, I'm dying to get there, though. Amen. So I pull in that place there, and we had, I tell you what, one of the best waiters I've ever had in my life. Amen. He comes over and, how are you doing, sir? I'm glad you're here. Man, can I interest you in some appetizers? I said, what are they? So their appetizers is bread. I mean, Longhorns, or what do you call it? Yeah, Longhorns, you get free bread. In there, you got to buy your bread. I said, maybe this is a high-dollar restaurant, but you got to buy the bread, too, before you even get started. He brought up 4 big old slices of hot bread. You could smell it coming out of the oven. And he brought out a little jar about that big, about that tall, full of butter, melted. You dip your bread in there. You baptize it in the name of what? You baptize it and bring that baby up out of there. And I got the butter dripping off my wrist. I said, baby, I'm glad we turned around this place. Amen. It's going to be good. Amen. And so I got me a meal. Jody got a salmon. She, you know, one of them healthy meals, salmon. It's hard to eat salmon sometimes, but they put a lot of stuff on it. It was really good. I got me a catfish, and I said, hey, you got regular catfish? I said, I see you got blackened catfish. I said, how's that blackened catfish? And this black waiter said, you better get some of that, boy. It's good. Amen. I got that blackened catfish on that plate, man. And they threw some shrimp down and some gravy with shrimp and gravy. I never had that before. And we ate that. And he got all done. And he says, y'all wanted a dessert. Whoa, you got dessert too. What do you got? And he brings out another guy. They both have a tray in their hands of desserts. They're bringing them out to me. And this ain't no McDonald's now. It was Wendy's. Okay. But anyway, he brought that tray out there and he said, look at here. He said, this is banana pudding in a quart jar. My grandma used to make that. Hey, man, come on now. What else you got there? He got some things I couldn't even pronounce. I said, we're full. And I'm full of bread and I'm full of catfish. I'm full of everything. But bring us one of those banana puddings. Amen. Somebody say amen. And Jody said, let's go for it. Bring two spoons. I said, what? That's the problem sometimes of being married. You got to share everything. I don't know about you, but you may be a spiritual or more spiritual than me. I see some of you guys wanting to go eat right now. Amen. But that thing was awesome. And Jody ate her half out of the quart jar. And he said, down in the bottom is where them vanilla wafers are down there. I dug straight for the bottom first. Boom, I pulled that thing out. It was like being raised in the newness of life. Amen. Somebody shout amen to that. And I tell you what, I'm glad they didn't have no more food. I was like the pop. And so we left there, and she said, we got a couple of pictures. I said, this is really fancy. We may go to Burger King or something, but I mean, this is really nice. And of course, what did my wife say? How much is it? Amen. They always ask that. You bring a gun home? How much you pay for that? Sorry. I said, baby, let's not worry about it. You see that truck out in the parking lot? We're spending our kids' inheritance right now. So what does it matter what we do now? Amen. This is just a peanut compared to a new truck. Amen. Somebody shout amen to that. You know, I think that's with knowing God, that he brings these things in your life and bring joy and bring the happiness and bring the grace and the peace. And he said, I'm going to multiply it. I'm going to put it on heavy. Amen. Amen. Well, you got to have some regular Bible studies. Amen. You got to get deeper in the Word of God. And Joshua 1:8, he said, meditate upon the Word of God. Amen. And to know him. The more I know God, the more I will trust him. Amen. The more I trust him, the more I will obey him. And the more I obey him, I'll experience him. Amen. And the more I experience him, the more I will love him. Amen. To know him is to love him. And to love him is to trust him. And to trust him is to obey him. And to obey him is to be blessed. And to be blessed is to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. Living for others is what the Apostle Peter learned. And he learned it. He said, I'm the apostle. Somebody shout amen to that. And later on, he said, I'm the servant. I'm here to serve. And God says, hey, Peter, I want to give you a little bit more grace. I want to give you a little bit more blessings in life. I want to pour some more on you, but you got to know me more. You get to know me more. He said, I'm going to load you up. He said, not only are you going to get an ice cream, but I'm going to put some peanuts and caramel on it. I'm going to put some chocolate on, hot fudge out of there. And I'm going to put some whipped cream on top. And they better put a cherry on top. Somebody shout amen. That's really living. And the Christian life, you can have all that. But if you don't get to know him, you probably won't experience a whole lot of these things he's said he will give you. Amen. Isn't it good to be saved tonight? Amen. Isn't it good to have a church to come to and the Bible to read? Isn't it great? It's wonderful. It really is wonderful. Thank God for salvation. And thank God for all the extra perks he gives me along the way and gives you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us tonight, Lord, as we once again have looked at the Word of God and Lord Jesus. And we know from reading about people in the Bible, so many people, but the apostle, he became even more of a servant. And And he got this bonus of knowing you, God, of grace and peace and so many other things in his life. For head bowed and eyes closed tonight, just for a few moments, and I know the hour's late, and so I'll be very brief with you and I. What are you lacking in your life, in your Christian life? Is it joy, peace, grace, whatever? He's going to add to these things. I'm going to add things to you and all that. It all comes about the knowledge of God, getting to know him and knowing what he prefers and knowing what pleases him and knowing all these things. And that's how you make a marriage work good. And that's how you make a church work really good, is knowing one another and knowing the needs of God and knowing what he desires. Maybe you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Tonight ought to be the night of salvation. And don't let today just slip by as another ho-hum day and another night to go home. But I think you ought to claim this. And he wants to not only give you the extra grace and peace and so many things, and so I'm going to multiply it if you just get to know me a little bit more. Know me some more. Maybe it's time to shut off the TV a little bit more. Maybe it's time to stop doing a few things that keep you away from God. You may know him and the power of his resurrection, like Paul said. If your head's bowed and eyes closed, maybe you stand tonight for just a few moments. We'll be out here. Maybe you'd like to visit the altar. May stand, please, as the Lord has spoken to you about something. And, you know, I think one of the biggest prayers that I pray is that, God, I want to know you more. And you know what he'll say? If you really want to know me, come on. I'm available. Maybe you need to slip out of your seat tonight and claim some of these promises from God. So I want to know God more than ever in my life. I want to know God in a special, precise way. And maybe you need to come ask him tonight. Say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. Claim it tonight. Amen.
Come on down. Amen. Right now. Come on down. Find your spot on the altar. There you go. There you go. Amen. Just pray until you're done. Come on down. Sunday night. It's been a night that I've challenged you every Sunday night since I've been your pastor. Get geared up for the week to come. You're going to go into your work week tomorrow. Go in prayed up. You got things that are bothering you, pray about it. Pray about it. Things that are upsetting your life, come on and pray about it. Dealing with depression, come up and pray about it. Illness, come up and pray about it. Sunday night, it's a time to pray. There's time for you to come. Seek that grace that he talked about tonight. God says, my grace is sufficient for the day. Sometimes we need to ask that, the Lord, we need to ask him for that grace. Get us through today and another week. Come on down.